Hey, it's Evan Pagan talking to my friend Jorge Cruz. Jorge is the best-selling author of over 10 books. He sold over 5 million books in 14 languages. He's been on the New York Times bestseller list. He's been all over Oprah and the Today Show. He wrote the book 8 Minutes in the Morning. The book The 12-Second Sequence, by the way, which was launched on the Today Show, became an instant bestseller. His new book is coming out right now, The Belly Fat Cure, where he teaches that health is really not just about exercise and eating less calories, but it's really about knowing your insulin and how to keep it low for health. And so he's going to talk to us about writing books, publishing books, getting massive PR. And what I'm also hoping is maybe we can even talk a little bit about health. So welcome, Jorge.
Hey, Evan. Thanks so much for having me here. And I'm excited to be with your group here. It's a pretty cool group. And I have to say, I've been so impressed with all the materials and content that you have out there for folks that really can change their lives. And I just love it because it's changing my life. And directly, you've been mentoring me. So I want to thank you for that. And I'm thrilled to be sharing with your inner circle here.
So how did you go from just, you know, a regular guy to one of the top health and fitness experts in the world?
Well, probably the one thing that truly has given me an edge out there, you know, because I grew up in a Mexican-American family. I mean, my story in a minute or so is I was an overweight, Mexican-American kid, grew up in San Diego, up in the northern part of San Diego, inland in Ramona, and grew up kind of in the country, didn't know much. My dad was real busy. He was never around too much, so I didn't have a business mentor there. And, I grew up kind of not wealthy, kind of poor in that sense as well, and just ate junk and sugar, and food became my best friend. So, you know, I became overweight and I didn't play sports. You know, I was the opposite of the jock, and I was kind of dorky and, you know, was involved with computers back then. I remember the Apple IIc, and that was as good as I got that in a bag of Dorito chips, you know? and so when I finally got to high school and college, I just started to think that, you know, not having my health was kind of hurting me. You know, I wasn't dating. I didn't date until I was really into college. I was kind of slow on that and was broke and had a broken down old pickup truck that my dad let me borrow. So I was really, you know, there was pain, I guess, as Tony Robbins was one of my mentors. He wrote the foreword of my first book, The 8 Minutes in the Morning, and I know you're good friends with him as well. And, crazy thing, one thing led to another, and I actually, in college, went to a Tony Robbins seminar. And not that this is a plug for Tony, but, you know, he just got me to ask a question, and the question was simple. He says, what would you do if you couldn't fail, you know? And I thought, well, I want to be healthy, you know, because I was passionately wanting to be healthy. Because for me, that was the key to potentially, you know, being happy, I guess. I felt so unhappy. So I thought, you know, the ultimate would be how could I turn it into my career and be healthy, you know? And I think making your vocation, your vacation in that sense, and doing something you love where it's enjoyable was kind of the reason I probably have gotten to where I'm at, because it takes a little bit of smarts and it takes a lot of discipline and focus, you know? And that was one of the things I was so impressed when we got a chance to connect in person all that the first time. It was just, you know, not too many people out there that are focused. And I think that was, for me, was one of the keys to doing it all. And I, you know, remember when I was on the Oprah Winfrey Show before I even had a book out, you know, this is back in 1998, she told me, she said, Jorge, if you're going to be successful in life, she was kind of my second mentor. She said, keep things simple, simple, simple. So between Tony just lighting up my passion and then Oprah telling me to keep things simple, that if things got complicated, no one would ever do them. I just kind of said, all right, well, how am I going to do this and reach a lot of people? And so really, you know, what I've done is create a whole method of techniques to become healthy and achieve health. And, you know, whether that's body fat or, you know, internal health too, where you have energy and vitality and you feel good, where it's really like one step to everything. You know, it's very simple. It doesn't take a lot of time. And I try to refine that to its least most difficult thing and remove all the friction and keep things simple for people. And then it's just thinking like, you know, and what we can maybe share with everyone listening is, you know, the keys for me that is marketing. It's all about marketing. And, you know, I love now internet marketing, but prior to that was all about like how to sell to a producer. You know, I'm always, the thing I learned is to think like a television producer, because they're really the doorkeepers in the traditional media world to launching a product or a book or anything. So the world knows about it, you know, and I think still to this day, even though the internet is out there and replacing a lot of the traditional stuff, it's still a great lead generator, if you will, not only books, but just going on television, you know. And I know a lot of people still do it, and it's a little more difficult sometimes, but there are systems to simplify that. So we can go all over the board. We can talk health, Evan. We can talk marketing, you know, and we can talk Oprah, whatever you want. I'm all yours.
No, that's great. Man, you know, you probably gave, you know, enough value that we could just call it quits at the beginning right now with just, I mean, there are three ideas here. That, I mean, I was taking notes the whole time here.
Yeah.
Right. Great question from Tony Robbins. What would you do if you couldn't fail?
Yeah.
You know, Russell Ackoff talks about, you know, the idea of idealized design, where you just take all the constraints off and you say, what would this look like if it was perfect? And most people don't do that.
Yeah, they that's a great question.
Right? They never ask, like, what would my ideal be and what would I do if I couldn't fail? And they don't. Some people call it dreaming, but it's really just using the highest power of your creative mind.
It is.
And when you get the vision, then you can figure out how to do it. Another thing you said that was beautiful from Oprah, I might have to paraphrase this and call it my own at some point.
But, sure.
No, I'm just kidding. If you're going to be successful in life, keep things simple.
Yes.
You know, that's it.
You know, things that are simple. The Google people are brilliant. YouTube, you know, the iPhone. I mean, things that can simplify our lives, right, Evan? I mean, that's why I love your system on internet marketing and just marketing in general and thinking. It's such a refined way of thinking. And a lot of people think it's complicated. But obviously, if you get a great mentor, right, because that's the other thing Tony taught me, was just really don't reinvent the wheel. If you're smart, you'll go to the school of modeling, role modeling, and you'll find a great instructor to hopefully teach you what he took years or years to learn and compress it down to a day or two or a program, you know. And I, you know, I always try to remember that from Tony, because he even told me that.
That's beautiful. And then the last thing I thought, this is one of the most brilliant insights I've really ever heard. And I noticed when I looked at the titles of your books when we were hanging out.
Yeah.
Create a set of techniques that are each one step.
Yes.
In order to remove friction.
Well, I mean, it doesn't get any simpler than one step, right? I mean, one,
exactly.
Two, three, and then people say too many, right? So I know three is way the max the mind can usually handle comfortably. You know, if you're really super smart, I mean, maybe you can go up to seven steps. But, I mean, one step is really, I mean, you know, I mean, I guess some people wish it was zero. It was a magic wand, right? Like winning the lottery. But it's hard to win the lottery. So.
Well, and so many of us right now are trying to figure out how to communicate the simple value, the simple benefits of what we're trying to sell. I mean, what if you had to challenge yourself to just put it all into one step? What would that step be called? What would it be? What are some of your best one steps?
Oh, well, the one step, you know, like right now, like you said, you know, like the thing I've been working now, program called the Belly Fat Cure. And for me, you know, this program is going to really, I hope, transform how America truly considers the way they get healthy and what causes health and what causes disease. And, you know, I've been studying this thing. One of my mentors in the more modern times, last Dr. Mehmet Oz from The Oprah Show. But I've also worked with people like Dr. Andrew Weil, who has written some of the best books on integrative health. And, you know, he's been on the cover of Time magazine. And the most important thing anyone listening out there, I mean, in the sense of what I'm doing with belly fat, because that is the most deadliest of all fat out there around your waist circumference, is the one number that you've got to be aware of. And for men out there listening, your waist circumference should be 37 inches or less. And for the women listening, 32 and a half inches or less. That's right from Dr. Oz. But, you know, those numbers are important. A lot of people don't know how to get rid of their belly fat. And, you know, the one thing I've studied is, like, what causes that? It has nothing to do with eating too many calories or not exercising enough. But as you mentioned in the beginning here, it's one thing, and it's really realizing that your blood sugar, your insulin levels determine hormonally how your body processes stored or will store body fat. And if you can keep your insulin level low, you know, I tell people my one-stop method right now is getting people to realize that all you have to do is really know the right amounts of sugar and carbs. If there was one thing you to do, it's just know what I call the SC value of foods, the sugar and carb value. And if you know that number, and you can keep it on average to 15 grams of sugar or less a day, that one distinction will transform your health for the rest of your life. Not only will you lose the weight around wherever, including your waist, but you will, you know, prevent aging and disease and heart disease. I mean, the American Heart Association, I just did an interview this morning with this gal named Dr. Rachel Johnson, who's the lead author of this study that just is in the media everywhere here at this time of the year right now, just confirming how sugar causes and has, there's no question, causes this coronary heart disease, where most people thought it was egg yolks and butter. it's now without question sugar, you know, and we drink too much of it, we eat too much of it. So if you can keep your sugar to 15 grams, it's pretty powerful what that does. And that'd be my, that's kind of in a nutshell what the Belly Fat Cure is all about. It's giving people what I call carb swaps, because mainly the book is all, I love this too, and this is a key thing, it's all pictures for the most part, the book. Basically, it's 110 awesome at-home recipes that you can make in 10 minutes, serves four, so for families it's great, and it's got pictures of all the meals and the recipes, so it's a picture swap thing where we show someone at going to like Denny's or IHOP or TGI Fridays and ordering X, and this X has, you know, 93 grams of sugar and 10 carb servings, and then we show people how to make the exact same type of menu, but usually only bigger and better with no sugar or less than 5 grams for the most part. And so people love, you know, all my clients that have been on this program, because I also write for the Costco Connection, which is pretty big. They have 9 million readers in their magazine. And Susie Orman, who's a friend of mine, hooked me up into that magazine. And so she'll write a column on financial fitness, if you will, and I'll do one on physical body stuff, and we'll alternate. And I've had a lot of their internal members. If you're any Costco members out there, you might have seen me, you know. So hi to all the Costco people. But you go to Costco, right, Evan?
Sometimes.
Sometimes. I go there often. Not too often, but, you know, I end up leaving there after 2 or 3 hours. There's so much there. But regardless, you know, it's just realizing that your sugar intake is powerful, you know. And if you could make health one step, it's just being aware not of how much you weigh, not about, you know, necessarily anything else, but how much sugar are you taking in? And if that one distinction, if you can be aware of that, and most people are doing 200 to 300 grams of sugar, you know. One Yoplait yogurt has 24 grams of sugar. One Coca-Cola, one can of pop, 39 grams of sugar. You know, orange juice has about the same as a Coca-Cola, 39 grams of sugar. A Jamba juice, a normal regular-sized Jamba juice, has usually 93 grams of sugar. So there's a lot of sugars that are hidden, if you will, that can do that. So that's kind of my big passion right now, you know. For the next probably decade of my life, I will be focused in and trying to make the Belly Fat Cure a program that is embraced around the world. And, you know, we've been, I think I mentioned too, I was working with President Clinton about a month ago. We went to a dinner he's at, and, you know, he had coronary heart disease and had a quadruple bypass in 2004, and is a big advocate and negotiator. He did an amazing thing where it wasn't negotiating with the Koreans that was amazing, but negotiating with Pepsi and Coca-Cola to get soda removed out of high schools, because, you know, it's a big thing. So he had a lot of foresight on to how deadly sugar can be. So we've got people like that endorsing what I'm doing, to Dr. Oz, to the American Heart Association. So it's going to be hopefully a category killer. I always like to come up with programs that can reset the game, if you will. And right now, gosh, it's 68, you know, they say it's 68% of every American, and that's kind of the Western world, is overweight right now. So it's important that we address that, you know. And if there's anyone struggling listening right now to weight, you know, that's it. It's one step, guys. Just be aware of your sugar intake primarily. And if you can keep it to 15 grams or less a day, your health will shift.
You know, it's funny because I'm, you know, I intended originally, Jorge, to get all the good marketing and PR stuff out of this interview up front.
Yeah,
but this health stuff is so fascinating, and everybody's interested in this. I'll tell you what, let's dive into it a little deeper.
Sure.
And then maybe we can zoom back out and talk about how anyone can kind of use this idea here.
Well, we'll talk about the marketing of it all too. Sure.
So brilliant, right? I mean, you call it the Belly Fat Cure, which is brilliant because that's what everybody wants. Nobody wants belly fat because it's physically unattractive.
It is.
But then, of course, you pull them into the reality of what causes belly fat, and you make it one simple step: keep the sugar carb value low.
Yep.
So what is, just out of total curiosity, what is the sugar carb value? What is sugar? How does it work? What are we doing?
Well, sugar, you know, if you think, I mean, the bottom line, like on in the sense of health, the goal is simple. You want to eat like we did 10,000 years ago. I mean, Paleolithic man, which is 160,000 years ago, which is basically version 1.1 of the human body, was created about 160,000 years ago. So we're still, you know, we always talk about like how Microsoft and Apple are always coming out with their new versions, and they're coming out with Leopard or the Snow Leopard really soon, and Microsoft 7 and all this stuff, and they update every 2 or 3 years. Well, the human body has yet to be updated since it was really the first beta came out, or the first issue came out, which is 160,000 years ago. So, and until probably the last 150 years, we've had the same identical diet. So if you look at the scheme of the human lives, of the human species actually, you know, for 160,000 years minus 150, which isn't that much when you look at 160,000 versus 150. If it was money, you would say $150 is nothing. 160,000 is, you know, a fair amount. So if you look at the scheme of stuff, we ate the same thing. And what did we eat? You know, I always like to do this with my five-year-old kid, Parker. We watch Bear Grylls, this guy that's on cable, and he has a show where he's out there in the wild. And when you're in the wild, and if you were out there, say, just even 10,000 years ago, what would you eat? I mean, odds are you'd be eating things you would find, like shrubs maybe some things, some berries here and there if they weren't poisonous, maybe a root or something like that. But your primary source of calories in the way the human body is really designed to be functioning at its most simplest way is by eating, you know, you'd be eating like a snake or a squirrel, or you'd catch some sort of thing that was on four legs and you'd kill it and roast it or eat it raw or whatever. And that's pretty much what we're designed as the human body is designed from all the research I've done. There's two requirements we have to have, and that is protein and fatty acids. There is no true human requirement for carbohydrate or sugar. So you ask the question, what is sugar? Well, sugar is a luxury. It's something that's nice, but it's not critical. And in today's world, it's the cause of disease, diabetes, heart disease, cancer. And it's primarily what the American Heart Association just came out with saying the core reason that's the chief killer in our country, which is heart disease, you know. And so, you know, when I tell people you only need 15 grams, it comes out to like 3.5 teaspoons a day. The American Heart Association's their now official number. Before, they used to say just moderate your intake, which is basically like saying, I'm going to make a lot of money. It's like, well, how much money? It's like you're not being very clear. And then they said, well, you want to eat mainly fruits and vegetables. And that's what they used to say. And now they finally have said it. They're saying 6 teaspoons, according to them, if you're a woman, and 9 teaspoons if you're a man should be your absolute maximum limit. And, you know, and that's for health. And obviously, if you want to lose belly fat, what I'm telling people is about 3.5 teaspoons, which is 15 grams.
Mm. Yeah, my experience of getting away from especially the processed flour, sugars, all that kind of stuff, and then going back to it and eating some of them, you know, like a couple of pieces of bread or something, and then feeling like my IQ drop by like 30 points, you know, an hour later, and my whole body going, whoa. And most people don't believe that this is really going on. They've got to do it several times and then notice, you know, an hour after they eat how they feel to really get it.
Yep.
So you're saying 15 grams of sugar for the whole day. And once they've gotten their belly fat to the point where they like it, do you still keep them on 15?
I personally, that's what I do. But, you know, obviously I think it's about, you know, being aware of where your body reacts. There are some people, and I've met some of these people, that think they have belly fat, and you're like, where? You know, you have no belly fat. They have like this little roll, and it's primarily their skin or something, you know, but they have it and they swear by it. So they want to get down even further. So depending on where you're at and how much fat you have, that it all depends, and also a little bit on your genetics, because there are some people that really can eat carbohydrates. And they do, and they eat sugar and junk and do everything else wrong. And you look at them, and they're as thin as a rail, you know. So there's some, but that's like 1% of 1% of the people out there, you know. It's just so rare. So for most people, what I would recommend is if they follow the program, I usually give them a 7-day challenge, because that's where they can lose about, you know, up to 13 pounds in a week, which most people think, they say, Jorge, you're crazy. That's impossible. How can you do that? And you really can, because about 3 pounds will come from real fat, Evan. And here's the scary thing, and I hate to talk about this, but it's important. But about the remainder, so about 8 to 9 pounds for most of my clients, especially during the first month of the program, each month they'll lose, or each week I should say, they'll lose about 7 to 8 pounds of fecal matter, of actual waste that's kind of encrusted in the intestines and all that. And about 2 to 3 pounds will come from fat. So it's not 13 pounds of pure fat. It's not like we're doing lipo on people, you know. People always think, well, what's the actual weight consist of? So it's, you know, it's 20% fat, 80% of this waste matter. But the thing is, regardless, it's 13 pounds every week, and that belly starts to get flatter and flatter each week. You know, so once you get to your goal, you can experiment, you know. I personally, if I have sugar again, if it's ever a lot, I get actually a sore throat, my throat hurts, I get dizzy. You kind of get used to being healthy, you know?
Yeah, no, I'm totally with you.
So it's just a hard thing to go back to, you know, once you've kind of moved in that direction, you love it too much.
So, you know, I'm also listening as a marketer here and listening to all the ingenious little things that you're saying here about, you know, first you're telling them, okay, you know, here's what a good carb and a bad carb is, and then here's how to swap out the carbs. You know, you're not losing anything. We're going to give you a better kind of way to do it. How do you approach creating a system like the Belly Fat Cure?
Well, the way I've created the Belly Fat Cure, I mean, it really took a lot of thinking beforehand. I mean, I really did a lot of surveys. I have a program that that I use called the Survey Monkey. I'm sure you've heard of that one.
Yeah, we've used it. Mm-hmm.
And I did a survey of my list, of all the people that are in my list, and we have quite a few, and asked them really, you know, a few questions. Because I think you got to listen to what people want. I mean, that's an important trick. I mean, why reinvent the wheel and force them to think and buy something that they're not really interested in? And you would agree, right, Evan?
Oh, yeah, of course.
I mean, we could do that. We could try to create a need for something, but there's a need out there. You just have to ask what it is. So the number one thing that, you know, like 80% of all people that I worked with, male and female, their number one concern when asked, all right, do you want to lose weight? They're like, yes. You say, where specifically? Because people probably don't ask that too often, or at least health people, because, you know, they think it doesn't matter. Just saying you want to lose weight. But you would be surprised if you can get a little more specific. That people, once you tell them, well, is it belly fat? Is it your, you know, is it weight in your buttocks? Is it your thighs? Is it your face? Is it your arms, your underarms? Where is it that you hate it the most? They'll rank it. And 80% of all the results skew always to belly fat. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, so right there, I knew I had something there. And I knew that no one else had really done anything until just last year. There was this program called the Flat Belly Diet by Rodell that they had put out, and it was a different plan because it was all about eating good fats, which is obviously good. I'm all about eating good fats, but they never talked about sugar, you know, and the results I've seen in that book that people get is maybe 8 or 9 pounds total. And my people are losing 13 pounds a week after week until they get to their goals. So there's a big difference in the sense of the impact, you know, that sugar has on your body. Because obviously if you eat more good fats, that's good because it satiates your hunger and you hopefully eat less sugar. But so it was really understanding what people wanted, I think, is step one, Evan.
Amazing. And then you've got this knack for tuning into the hot button words that people are using, right? Obviously, like belly fat and one step. And you do that intentionally or consciously, or is it just come out of you that way?
I don't know. I had to learn all this stuff. You know, I honestly think the words we use, obviously, are very powerful, you know. And one of the books I love that even President Clinton told me about that he's a big fan of is this book called The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz. Mm. And it's this book all about, you know, these four agreements we can make to have this sense of extra power in our life and an empowerment type of lifestyle. And his very first agreement is be impeccable with your words. And I think the words we use, and I've learned this from internet marketers and traditional direct marketers and just anyone who is, you know, smart in the book world or as an author, because I've met a lot of self-help authors. I mean, I'm really lucky that I'm friends with people like Susie Orman and, you know, and I know Donald Trump fairly well and Robert Kiyosaki, the Rich Dad. And I've met, you know, everyone from that to, you know, Dr. Oz, who's written all these You books, to, gosh, Martha Stewart and all her books and how she's worked and you know, onward and onward and all these people. And what they become is they're very good at selling the content that they love, whether it's, you know, home decor stuff like Martha Stewart or if it's Dr. Oz, heart health or things like that. But then they listen to their market, and then you have to become a student of then copy as well, you know, because if you just are very good at, you know, heart health or home decor, but you don't know how to communicate in a way that causes people to listen, even though you may have the best heart health program or the best program, you know, the best system to organize your house or organize your cupboard or, you know, Martha Stewart is genius. I mean, she just is absolutely, when I met her for the first time, I was just blown away with her level of detail and thought and passion. I mean, she truly loves what she does. She loves making things beautiful in the house. You know, she's just, that's her thing. You know, she is and who would have thought that's worth potentially, at one point she was worth over $1 billion. And, you know, after she went to jail and back and all that stuff, I mean, it's kind of crazy, you know. She's not worth as much, but still worth hundreds of millions of dollars, you know. You could take that in, make it an industry, you know, but she knows marketing, she knows presentation, she knows the power of good photos and photography, and the attention detail is there. And I think If anyone listening to us right now, whether they're trying to create their own information product type of program or write a book or launch a website and whatever it is they're selling, whatever content they're selling, you know, they just have to know it inside and out. But then they have to do exactly what they're doing right now, and that is connect to one of the best mentors you can get your hands on and discover how to better communicate in the sense of marketing, you know. And I think that's where you're so brilliant, Evan.
Thank you.
You really are extraordinary because your level of detail to all this stuff is at the level of Martha Stewart, of Dr. Oz, and I know these people, Susie Orman, all these self-help authors, and you know what you've done is absolutely brilliant with teaching people how to get altitude and everything. You know, it's fabulous. Mm.
So let's say I want to write a book. Let's say I've got an idea, or maybe I've got a business and I, you know, I'm not in the information business or I'm not a guru, but I know that writing a book and becoming a guru will promote my business or my cause or whatever. What should I know if I'm going to write a book and I want it to be a bestseller?
The number one thing you got to do if you're going to write a book and you want it to be on the New York Times within the first 7 days, and that's always my outcome as an author. I only have 7 days. It's a 7-day launch. That's it. Done. If it doesn't launch in 7 days, it's not going to ever sell in my head, or it's not worth it. Because I only launch my books during, I mean, this is something I learned from Tony years ago, that there are these, in our world, there are psychological waves and times that we all think about certain things. And for example, with health, it's always January 1st. Same thing with wealth to a certain degree. You know, if you're talking love and all that, it could be Valentine's. If you're talking about, you know, your mom, it's Mother's Day. And so there's little times in the cycle of our human thinking that we think about this stuff. So I always know, for me, it's always usually the first week in January. That's usually the only time I'll launch a book on a national level. It's the only time the shows, the Today Show, the Regis and Kelly Show, the Oprah Show, the Dr. Oz Show, you name it, that want to do stuff on usually weight loss, unless it's like bathing suit season and all that. So you have 7 days. So if you have 7 days and you've got to sell a lot of books or sell a lot of products within 7 days, you got to know what you're doing. And you got to know who you're really selling to. Because if the doorkeeper is a media person, you got to make sure that the program is written for a television segment, you know. And in today's world, you know, you can do your own television segments with your own internet stuff and put it on YouTube and you're set, you know. So you don't have to go on national TV anymore to have a presence. But I always tell people, think like a TV producer, you know. And I always say, who are you writing your book for? I ask this in front of people a lot of times when I speak about this. And they always say, well, I'm writing for the mother. I'm writing for a businessman. I'm writing for this. I say, well, no, not really. You should be writing for the television producer. And if it's a business book, for CNBC, the Donny Deutsch Show, or, you know, Larry King Live, or you want to be thinking like a television producer. And you want to think, you know, the title probably is, without question, though, of the book, the most important thing, Evan, to absolutely have down hammered. I mean, I've probably spent no less than 6 months probably working with 30 people to come up with 3 words. You know, and the belly fat cure is the title, and then the subtitle we probably debated, you know, another month, because once we had the title, we had that down. And with this book, you know, I really had to go through a lot of work. It was hard. I mean, because the subtitle is what's on Amazon.com. It's the one sentence that comes after your title that has to sell them. I mean, you have maybe 9 words, maybe 12 if you're really long, to lock the sale in. So you say your title, which is 2 to 3 words. And then you say your subtitle, and then you are done. And then it has to be that way, you know. And maybe you can put one other thing on the cover of the book, but it's like designing a billboard, you know. People are going to drive by it, and you have 4 seconds to get their attention. And that's it. So the cover is everything. And if the cover doesn't stop the TV producer's attention, because I've been there, and I know all these folks. They're all my friends, you know, producers from the Tyra Banks Show to Good Morning America, you name it. And I go behind the sets and the stages and into their offices when they're not actually filming. And they have rooms full of boxes of just stuff stacked. And unless you know them, you're probably not even getting near them. But then if they are going to spend a day or have an intern go through some stuff, they're going to look at the cover, and then they don't even have the time to turn it over. Just the cover, and they'll toss it into the other box, and they'll toss it, and they'll toss it. And until one of them catches their eyes, and you don't have to be a New York Times bestseller, because my first book, 8 Minutes in the Morning, that was the title, You know, A Simple Way to Lose 2 Pounds Every Week was the original subtitle of that book. And I was no one. I had not been, I mean, I think they said I was on Oprah because I was on Oprah for a website that I had on years, 2 or 3 years before that. But I went through 23 letters of rejection with my first book title, had to change it 23 times, and finally got 8 minutes in the morning. So I've been through it all. And so the title is, I mean, you really shouldn't even write the book. And most of the books I do today, I'll sell them to the publisher before I even write a page of the book. You know, I'll have the idea, and I'll have maybe 3 titles, and I'll walk in and I'll sell them with just the title mocked up, kind of like an actual book that'd be in the bookstore. And that's all they care, because that old saying, I'm sure you've heard the saying, right, Evan?
Which one?
About judging a book by its cover. It is so true. People judge you by the cover of your book, and that's it. And that's it. And then if you have a great cover, then your job is then to write a great book, you know. And a lot of people write a great book and then figure out, you know, because I've done this with friends. I've had really good friends. I won't name names, but some of them are well known, where I've sat down with them and they have this system. And they're like, they're going to take this class, this system that they already know, and they're going to teach it. And now they're going to make it into a book. And I'm like, well, so what's the title you're thinking? They'll give me this title. I'll say, oh, that's not too bad. So what's the subtitle? They'll say that. I'm like, oh, it doesn't sound unique enough. I don't get it, you know. I just don't get it. And so they'll say, well, it's this thing and it's that. And I'll be like, well, what if you took – and then they'll explain it to me and I'll listen. They'll show me their 10 parts and all this, not one step, but their 10 steps. And I'm like, what if you did it at least 3 steps like this? And they'll be like, oh. And I said, that's it. You should restructure your book like that. But like, well, that's not what I've been teaching people. So it's like you almost want to think ahead of time, what's your outcome? What do you want to do? Then write the cover, base it on something that's simple, and then try to structure your content to fit that. And a lot of people just create and write, and then they try to create a cover that's based, you know, a way to describe it that's based on what's on the inside. And unfortunately, on the inside, sometimes it's just a big mess, you know. It's just scary. So it's better to do the outside first, you know, work your way in, as I always tell people when you're doing a book, and start with the cover. And if you're really smart, don't go past the cover until you've sold it.
Amazing. So you're really focusing all of your energy on that first impression and on the title, on the subtitle, the whole, almost the gestalt of what someone's going to experience. And when that looks right, then you're like, okay, now I can go write the book.
Well, you know, yeah, it really was. And for me, the title is all I had in my head, you know, because I wasn't sure of the details. So I knew it was The Belly Fat Cure. I had probably 5 or 7 titles that we were thinking subtitles, and they were good. And, you know, and then what I do is immediately with any book that's a self-help book, I mean, you know this because, you know, you've done so many great self-help type of books on relationships and all that. And the trick is there, if it's a self-help book, you have to have social proof, right, Evan?
Yeah, absolutely.
It is vital. Without it, you are effed up. You just nothing will ever sell. And so what I do is I always go locally because I live in San Diego. I do usually go to the local TV stations, and they've now known me for 10, 12 years. Is that's how I kind of got started locally, and that's what I would recommend anyone who's not comfortable on TV or has never been on TV is, you know, I used to do what they used to call the Learning Annex stuff. Do you remember those?
Oh, yeah, of course. Whatever happened to those guys?
God rest their souls, because they're gone now.
They still around? No, they're gone.
The dinosaur is gone. Yeah, there's no more Learning Annex. They went out of business.
Wow.
So. But they're gone. But I used to do those. And, you know, I'd get 40, 50, 60 people to show up at an event in there. And I'd always market that just like I would a cover. And it was great, you know, back in the day before I had books. And then once I had books, we'd get hundreds of people to show up. And, you know, sometimes if it was local, I would take those 100 people and get them all on the program. And then and follow up with them for 10 weeks and see how they did, and then do a regroup, and we do pictures. And lo and behold, they became my before and afters, literally in all my books, you know. So what we did with The Belly Fat Cure, I teamed up with the San Diego Magazine, which is the big, glossy, fancy San Diego Magazine. And I did 2 big programs with just their readers. And within 8 weeks, I had some of the most extraordinary before and afters. And just that happened, that one of the things that happened was I just never thought people could lose more than 2 or 3 pounds a week, because technically that's as safe as it can be when it's body fat. You know, doctors will tell you that. And I was just very hesitant to have people lose more than that. But on this program that, you know, I created, and I wasn't sure what to expect, that's why we did these test groups, they were losing 10, 13, 14, some people 15 pounds a week. It was like the Biggest Loser. Mm. And they weren't exercising. So that became an element I put on the table as something I could say on the cover, because it was true. I mean, obviously what you say on the cover has to be true as well. And, you know, for the longest time, I didn't have a subtitle for the belly fat cure that really was effective. I was going and, you know, like we talked earlier about this SC value, the sugar and carb value. I was thinking about telling, you know, eating the right amounts of sugar and carbs on the cover and then lose 13 pounds or something like that. And I brought it to my round table. I've got about five people that I really trust that are back in New York, most of them are TV producers or magazine editors and publishers that are part of my little kitchen cabinet circle of folks that I go to for their, you know, advice. And I don't do it often because if I did, they wouldn't be my friend because they'd be like, you're talking to me too much. Because they're all busy, you know. They don't have time to talk to their husbands or wives or date or anything. They're just working all the time. So you have to be cautious. But when I have a new product, I always try to get to them. And so I've done that with this. And they said, you know, this SE value is too heavy. And it's like, oh, no one will get that. You know, no idea what that is. And I'm like, well, that's the key to it all. They said, no, it doesn't work. You know, the 13 pounds is awesome, of course. But they said, what you need to come up with is a term. So we worked hard for about 2 weeks. And I come up with this term called the carb swap system. So, and it, that's basically what I was doing in the book, was in the book, you know, I mentioned that's got a lot of pictures. We'd always have a bad belly food, which is something like at IHOP or Denny's that was like 40 grams of sugar. And then on the right side, we'd show something that was a belly fat program, belly good, I call it, program approved recipe that would mimic that and make it just as good and delicious. You could still eat, you know, caramel pancakes, you know, but just do it in a way that's so smart that you get almost no sugar. And so they're like, well, that's it. They're carb swaps. They said just, and that's a very visual term. You know, right now, just saying it, they can see a carb being swapped for another carb. You know, so it doesn't sound like you're giving up a carb. You're just swapping stuff. So they said use that. And so, you know, after a few tests, it tested really well. People got the visual aspect of it. It sounded easy, like a one-step type of thing, because all you have to do is swap out the carb. And you're there. And so that's what we ended up using on the cover of this book that'll be out in January, you know, 2010, everywhere from Costco to Target to Walmart, you name it. And so it's just really being aware and listening to good people and really realizing that if you want to have these people on your side as your friends and allies, you know, you got to keep a true friendship there. You know, and when you go on a TV show, your goal should not just be for a one-time hit. It's not a one-night stand. You know, you got to really develop. If you have that pleasure and that honor, because it's really an honor to be on national TV. It's an honor to get on the Regis and Kelly show because the list is a mile long of people that would love to be on those shows, you know? And if they want you on the show and they get you on the show, you got to be the best guest in the world. And the one word you just have to say is yes. If they say, can you do this? Can you do that? Do you mind doing this? You just say yes, yes. And you say yes again. You know, the worst thing you can be is a difficult guest where you say no. You say, well, I want to do it this way. You know, you can offer that you have ideas, but if they have an idea, you just hit a home run for them, you know, and you become friends with them and you follow up with thank you notes and you follow up with just things you would like if they were your friend. I mean, you want to authentically know that these people, you're very grateful to them, you know, so they become your friends and you just want to respect them in that sense because most people, I remember I went on a show with Pat Robertson. He has this Christian show called The 700 Club. It's kind of an odd show, but it's small, right. But it has 2 million people. Very powerful and a very loyal audience. I mean, Christian people are very loyal to Pat Robertson. You know, he's out in Virginia Beach, his big TV studio and everything that he owns and everything. And I'll remember having lunch afterwards after I did my talk with him and all this with the producer. She said, Jorge, you're the only author in 20 years of me doing this show that has ever sent me a thank you note. And I just have to say thank you because I no one has ever done that. And I'm like, you're kidding. I mean, what's a topic someone would want to do a book on, Evan? Give me an example.
Let's say how to get out of debt.
Okay, how to get out of debt, right? And what a great topic right now because, you know, with the economy the way it is, everyone's in debt and everyone wants to make more money. So there is a lot of ideas out there of solutions. You know, you can go to the bookstore and go to that section of the bookstore on finances and I would probably ask, you know, I do research on Amazon or just go on Amazon and buy the top 10 how to get out of debt books, right? Study them. You have to study them. You have to see what are they about? What makes this one unique? Because if they're up there, there's something unique about them. There's got to be. Unless it was Oprah saying that this book is gold and you must buy it. You know, you have to be aware of that. It's kind of like people in the weight loss world that can eat the sugar and all that stuff and not gain the weight. There's a few oddities of books that sell and they make no sense why they sold. You know, and it's just pure luck because someone said buy it and she was Oprah, you know. It's like winning the lottery, they just got lucky. But most books aren't those, you know. Most books actually are good books, you know, or at least if they make it to that and they have good marketing behind it. So study those and then ask yourself the next question, you know, like, and probably the most important question is, what would my program be? What would make my program different than all these guys? What would I do? What would be my USP, or what do we call that, Eben? The unique
selling proposition.
Yeah, what is my unique selling proposition, you know? So what would it be, Eben, if someone was doing a book on how to get out of debt? What would give us one. Pretend you represent everyone that's on your side here. What would be something they would say, maybe?
You know, let's say the unique selling proposition of my system was you can get out of debt without paying any more money on your credit card bills.
Mm.
Maybe there's a way that you figured out how to lump it all up or do a refinance of all the debt.
Oh,
and
nice.
You can pay the same amount, but you can get out of debt in, you know, 5 years.
Out of 5 years without adding more to your credit cards.
Yeah, without paying any more per month than you already pay.
I got you. That's pretty sweet. So that if that's the idea, I'd check to see how many other, you know, because that sounds unique, but I would confirm that there isn't anything else out there too similar like that. And, you know, like when I did the belly fat cure, there was this flat belly diet book out there, but its method to get to that result was very different than mine. Really, they had a lot of sugar in their programs, you know. So it's okay that there are other debt books. If you see that, oh my God, there's 10 other debt books, you know, it's like me going to the bookstore and saying, well, there's 10 other belly fat cure books. Well, they're not. There was just one. But weight loss is, you know, out there. But I got real specific to, you know, to belly fat, and there was one. But that's okay. It doesn't matter that there's one, two, or 10. It's just, what is that message about? Your message should not be exactly the same. So you would check that. And if that clears and that idea is clear, then your next homework assignment is simple, is you got to come up with two things, a 3 to 4 word title. If you're going really long, I would say 3 words is the most I would ever do.
You'd only do from now on 3 word titles.
Keep it short, because you want them to be URLs too for websites, you know?
Right.
And they should be easy to spell, hopefully, you know? So think URL, think short, think sound bites. And then say, okay, so if that's my sound bite title, you know, Mike Canings and, you know, Frank Kern, they recently did an event not that long ago. And I think you spoke at the new one, this Paid for Life program.
Yes, exactly.
Which I think is a brilliant title, Paid for Life. Mm. How many words is that? 3, right?
Yep, exactly.
Brilliant. I love it. You know, short, easy, got it. Then you'd have to come up with a USP that is very unique, or some sort of subtitle, I should say, that describes how do you get paid for life, because you got my attention. Just like the belly fat here, well, then how do you do it? You know, because you got my attention there. But then the subtitle has to say, well, how do you do it? And the how you do it has to be something very simple. One sentence, 10 to 12 words, that is just, and that's where you might spend a month with that sentence. And you'll play with it, and you'll get your best friends that write copy, and you should go to all the websites and magazines and, you know, that put headlines on titles of magazines and write, you know, on the inside columns that are short and have to grab people's attention. And then you have to really think like a copywriter, you know, and not like a self-help author, but like a sales and marketing kind of guru. You got to kind of learn that. And there are programs for that out there, of course, but just learn and study by role modeling what's out there, and just learn to say it differently maybe. And, you know, really get into to get the idea down and say, well, how can I describe what my method would be, you know? And, you know, if it has something to do with this or that, whatever it is, and then really come up with probably 10 or 12 options, test them, ask them with friends, say, what sounds easiest? You know, use the SurveyMonkey.com service. You can test your list that way and really refine that. And then, you know, and then just test it, and then start working on a cover design, you know, and model the best books that are out there. You know, most of them have pictures of folks on the cover, some don't. So whatever your thing's going to be, I mean, if you're good looking, you should take advantage of it. If, you know, you probably are, you know, not the best looking person yet, you know, then maybe just, you know, hide on the inside flap, you know. But, you know, it shouldn't be how good looking or not good looking you are. People don't care. They're not buying, you know, you're not a model. They're not buying you to, you know, they're not cutting you out and putting you over their bed. You know, it's not a poster of, you know, my wife used to have Ricky Martin posters up on her wall when he was in Menudo. You know, you're not, you know, this isn't one of the, it's not a Farrah Fawcett poster, you know, it doesn't matter what you look like. It's, you know, that's not the outcome. They're not buying it to enjoy your beauty. They're enjoying it. They're buying it so you solve a problem, you know. So hopefully you solve that problem and just do it differently, you know. And I think that's it. I mean, you're the king of this. I mean, what would you say, in the sense from your perspective, Eben, is the key to really coming up with that unique selling point or selling proposition?
Well, you know, I'd like to add to that.
Tell me.
You know, what I always bring to it is I ask, What is that lonely, desperate, irrational situation that the person is in? Mm. And when they're laying in bed at night, falling asleep, what are they worrying about? What are their emotions making them worry about that they would never admit to another person? Mm. You know, because a person that's in debt, they don't just want to pay off their debt. There's something else going on. Like they're afraid they can't send their kid to school, or they're afraid that they're going to, you know, lose their house and be homeless and have to move in with their parents or live on the street.
Yep.
There's always a higher issue. And so, you know, for you here with the belly fat cure, again, I think it's so ingenious because you're finding that crossover between the kind of the ego vanity need of the human, but also like truly what will help them be healthy, and finding that intersection is really part of the genius of marketing.
It is. I just think without question, you know, Evan, and that's why I wanted to do this call with you, and I was thrilled and honored that you asked me to be a part of this, is I really believe that the key to all this, long story short, in order to change people's lives and, you know, and sell a program, and, you know, where you're selling 7 or 8 million copies of it or whatever long term or even short term in a year, is just, I mean, you can be the best hearted, smartest X, Y, or Z, whether it's a realtor, whether it's a beauty consultant, whether you're a fashion consultant, whether you're a weight loss, fitness, dating, you name it, whatever, you know, get out of debt guy, whatever you are. But unless you are an expert marketer, and I really, when people ask me what I do, I really, you know, I don't usually tell them this, but if they really ask me what I really, really do and what I really love the most, because I think it's like, I love Star Wars and I love all this, you know, the Jedi stuff. And, you know, I just love words and I love marketing. Marketing is, you know, because I've seen what it can do. I've seen what bad marketing did to my life and where I was at. I was poor, you know, and broke and sad and fat. And once I got to realize, you know, how to say things slightly different, you know, from just saying, hey, you can get lean, strong, and energized. Because that was actually, the reason I said that is because that's actually the title of my very first book that got rejected, you know, because it's so broad. It was like too much. Get lean, strong, and energized. And that eventually became, you know, 3 years later and 21 letters of rejection later, 8 minutes in the morning, a big before and after. But just a few words, not any more words, not any less effort, just a different way of thinking. And boom, 2 million books sold, 14 languages, you know, you make a dent. And people really, their lives started to change. And, you know, and then my life started to change, because if you help 2 million people lose, you know, belly fat, or help them build muscle at home in 8 minutes, or whatever it is you're going to have them do, that adds up, you know, and it changes your life financially. So it's a big, you know, it's karma. It comes right back to you, you know, in a good way.
Mm, that's beautiful. And if they wanted to check out your books, which books do you recommend of yours?
My most popular book, especially for busy people, and I would say your folks are probably fairly busy, right, Evan?
I think we're all fairly busy these days.
I mean, we all are, but, you know, if they're doing your program, they probably are doing it, you know, and working full-time and doing this and that and trying to break out to something new. I would just start with my number one book, The 8 Minutes in the Morning. It's such a simple, powerful book that helps you build lean muscle tissue to restore not just your youthful appearance, where your body is tight and firm and your arms look good and your legs look good and your body looks, you know, like it does when it's in its 20s. But because you have that muscle that's been restored by doing 8 minutes of strength training in the morning, which I do to this day, you know, in this last month I've been on this launch, I haven't gone to the gym. I mean, I just haven't. Mm. But I do my 8 minute stuff to this day, 10 years later. And, you know, there's simple things that you can do that transform your metabolism in that sense, because that muscle will burn fat for you as well. You know, it keeps your metabolism revved. So 8 minutes in the morning is a great book. And get it anywhere. I mean, it's at Barnes & Noble, Borders, Amazon.com, just anywhere. Just Google that. 8 minutes in the morning, it'll come right up. You type in my name, Jorge Cruz, and it's C-R-U-I-S-E. My dad's the American one. My mom is the Latin, Mexican-American me. You know? So remember, I'm half and half. So.
Spell that. Spell your name again.
Sure. It's J-O-R-G-E is Jorge, George, J-O-R-G-E, and then Cruz, C-R-U-I-S-E, and the website is JorgeCruz.com. And, you know, just Google me. Even if you spell it wrong, it seems to come up always.
That's so beautiful.
I think people, you know, that are part of this kind of environment are rare, Evan. I mean, I think it's the leaders of the world that are out there actively trying to improve themselves. And, you know, I'm constantly trying to read new stuff and listen to new material. And I applaud all your members here to be part of this thing and to dedicate their life to listening to your conversations each month. I think that's invaluable, because You know, they always say, you know, never skip feeding your mind. You can skip a meal, but never skip an opportunity to learn something. And to this day, I'm always learning something, you know. So you're right now my mentoring, Evan. So thank you for being my coach, buddy.
Thank you. And thanks, Jorge.
You bet. My pleasure, bud.